Morning. I suppose it's going to seem like I'm hitting you right between the eyes on something very important to you, but I've always wanted to talk to you about the songs we listen to. I say we because I enjoy listening to a wide variety of music too. Always have. But don't feel threatened. I just want to give you a thing or two to think about. We live in a society where it's the exterior that matters. It's what catches our attention. And in the music we listen to is no different, I think. You know, in our world, beautiful people get favored over others. God said it best. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The outward appearance of a song, if you will, is the music. The rhythm, the chords, the melody, the harmony, those are the things that catch our attention at first. And the inner part of the song, the central message of the song, is in the lyrics. And we're not always good at going beneath the surface, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try. In American history class recently, we looked at Vietnam War protest songs. We looked at lyrics of a Creedence Clearwater Revival song called Fortunate Son, about a young draftee who didn't have a rich daddy to send him to college so he could avoid the draft, so therefore he had to go to Vietnam. "I ain't no millionaire's son. I ain't no fortunate one," he said. Stevie Wonder wrote a song too in the Vietnam era, directed toward politicians who kept making promises about getting us out of that war, and they fell short. He wrote, "If you really want to know our views, you haven't done nothing." Both songs have really catchy tunes, but the central message is found in the words. But in our culture today, what makes a song a hit? It seems like it's the music that matters. Even if the lyrics are offensive, it could become a hit if the music is catchy. In 1966, Jimi Hendrix had a hit called "Hey Joe." Check out the lyrics of this one verse of "Hey Joe." Joe's girlfriend cheated on him, so naturally, he shot her. Now, why was this such a big hit in 1966? It's because it had a catchy tune. Na 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 na. Despite my singing, it was a catchy tune. But I have to ask the question, why would a Christian sing along with a song that advocates murder? Is it different when you sing it rather than speaking it? Well, more on that later. But for all that matter, why would a Christian sing "I'm on the highway to hell"? I had high school classmates who sang that, and I just wondered, whoa, why are you singing those words? Now, these are old songs. But I think there are a lot of new songs now, things haven't changed that much, where the lyrics should make our Christian conscience quiver. Songs like "In My Head" by Jason Derulo, "How Low" by Ludacris, or almost anything by Ludacris. Who says "I Can't Get Stoned" by John Mayer. The question is, if the lyrics are raunchy or immoral, should we be singing along with those songs? Here's another question. Imagine this. What if one of your professors, right in class, just started to rattle off a blue streak of the most profane curse words you've ever heard? Would that shock you? Well, I hope so. Would it be more acceptable if he put the words to music and just sang them? Well, of course not. I think word would get around pretty quickly about what that prof sang in class. It's a trap to think that singing offensive words are somehow more acceptable than speaking them. Permit me to illustrate another trap, a trap that I was in. In high school, I loved the Beatles. I thought they walked on water and everything they touched turned to gold. I just loved their songs, and I still do a lot of their songs. I still love today. But back then I was fiercely loyal to the Beatles. And one day I found myself in a conversation with my dad. I had no idea that he knew the difference between John Lennon and the Lennon sisters, but here we were having a conversation about one of John Lennon's songs. I imagine you've all heard of it. Anyway, he was pointing out the fallacies of the lyrics. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Now, these lyrics are obviously false, but when I was 17 years old, I loved the music so much that the lyrics didn't matter. And I got real defensive, and I didn't want to admit it at the time, but I was only listening to half of the song. And I rebelliously stuck up for John Lennon against my own dad. Misdirected loyalty. That's one trap. Another one, I think, is veiled ignorance. I mean, maybe you hear a song and you know the words aren't quite wholesome, but you rationalize and you make them better than maybe they are. Let me try a hypothetical. Not long ago, there was a hit, Closing Time, right? Real catchy tune. But the lyrics are repetitive and, come on, they're lame. Really. I mean, okay, so the artist is sitting in a bar, wait, you know, until closing time, and he's been scanning the action, and he knows which girl that he wants to take him home, right? Now, what does that mean? And you could get confronted with this, and you might rationalize, and you might say, hey, nowhere in that song does it mention sex with somebody other than your marriage partner. In fact, nowhere in that song does it mention sex at all. No sex. And you'd be right. It doesn't mention sex, but that's all. It's what it's all about. But you could rationalize even more. You could go, yeah, I know who I want to take me home. She's over there across the room. That's my wife. She's my designated driver. Yeah. Yeah. And you could rationalize all logic away. But you're smarter. You're a lot smarter than that. And I say, call it what it is. If it's inappropriate, call it that. Think twice before you sing some of our songs that we hear today. Think twice before you sing praying to a God that I don't believe in, no matter how catchy the tune is. And think three times before singing Bedrock by Young Money. No, seriously, no matter how great the tune is, some of the lyrics in today's songs are just disgusting. The words do matter. Earlier this week, Prof. Sippert led us in a study of Romans 14 where we were reminded that Jesus is our Lord and Master. He doesn't speak to us directly about pop songs, but he does weigh in on the importance of whatever comes out of our mouth. With our words, he wants us to honor him and speak well of our neighbor. He tells us what not to do too. He doesn't want us to lie, he doesn't want us to gossip, say slanderous things. In short, he wants us to have control over our tongue. The Apostle James spent a lot of time on the tongue too. He said, look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. I think Jesus would say in our songs, the words matter. Did you know, and I'm stomping on almost sacred ground here, some of our hymns actually have lyrics that could raise the eyebrow. Most of our hymns are precious. They really are. But some aren't real accurate. I mean, they were written by people, so they're subject to error. One example is hymn 473. Stanza 3 speaks about the Holy Christian Church, and we know that because it says that it will never perish. So it's the Holy Christian Church of all believers on earth. And later it says, though there be those that hate her, and that's true, but then false sons within her pale. Now that can't be. It contradicts Scripture to say that there may be unbelievers in the Holy Christian Church. I think that's false doctrine in one of our hymns. And it happens because they're written by people, not inspired by God. If a song is written by people, we need to be able to evaluate what we're singing. Here's another trap. Have you ever heard yourself say this? I just listen to the music, I don't listen to the words. This can be a trap because the words matter. And if the words matter in a hymn that we're singing, then they should matter in our secular songs too. There's nothing wrong with listening to good music. I do it too. And there are plenty of good songs out there. But there's a lot of trash too. So it comes down to practicing your skills as an evaluator and then making a good Christian choice. And I wish you God's blessings as you make your choices in all things. Let's sing a really good hymn, two stanzas of hymn 400.